Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Haven't played a game in weeks, BT, and yet they continue to lose here in certain aspects where in this offseason, some of the quarterbacks that might have been possibilities, whether it is Drew Aller, who is now going back to Penn State, whether it was J.J. McCarthy, who now seems likely to be the Vikings quarterback, even potentially Shador Sanders, which we can get into a little bit later on with Deion, maybe going to the NFL, who the hell knows? But it seems like a lot of the options for Giants quarterbacks, especially with Sam Darnold sucking the last 2 weeks, have maybe gotten less here over the last few weeks.
Unpopular opinion coming. I don't think Giant fans want to hear this today, but I have no problem with Sam Darnold going to the Giants next year. I really don't. I never thought that Sam Darnold, even at the apex of his play this year, was as good as some people were starting to, you know, and I know O'Connell had great influence and he played very well. I just kind of viewed his performance with a little trepidation, certainly respect and a little surprise. And I knew he was doing well and played very well, but I never looked at him as like he figured it out to the point where he's now a star. And I also don't think that he was as bad, you know, or he'll be as bad moving forward as he was last night. So I think when you look at the quarterback market, you're right, Sal. I mean, the Aller stuff, the Shador Sanders stuff, we'll get to that later, The draft. What team? I look at this right now. What teams in the NFL are going to need quarterbacks next year? And I think it's a pretty basic list. We'll put the Giants there, clearly. You might have to put the Jets there if Rodgers retires or they get rid of him, whatever. I would say the Browns, the Raiders, the Colts, the Titans, the Saints, and maybe one or two others.
Steelers.
So I would say of those six or seven teams I just mentioned, probably two more emerge unexpectedly, like the coaching market. I think a few of those spots will be addressed by the draft, which means I don't think you'll have that many teams vying for Sam Darnold. So I ask you, he made $10 million this year, okay? If the Giants can get him for 22 to 25, which at this point is a fairly paltry figure for a quarterback, you don't want it?
I want
for the Giants.
Yeah, I want no part of Sam Darnold. We had this conversation, it's funny, BT, before week one, going into the Giants-Vikings game, and I incorrectly like the Giants because I am anti-Sam Darnold. No, but you were saying, oh, Sam Darnold, you're sleeping on him, Sal, you're sleeping. I'm like, Sam Darnold stinks. And he went on to have a terrific season to a point where I was watching him saying, man, he's throwing the ball with confidence. Okay, he makes some mistakes and throws some interceptions. Who doesn't? But Sam Darnold was throwing the football with confidence. The last 2 weeks solidified my initial take on Sam Darnold is that he's not very good. So while he may be better in O'Connell's system and looks like a quarterback who's developed and, you know, could be a stopgap guy or a decent quarterback for some teams, I guess, I would want no part of Sam Darnold. Not to mention in New York and the media pressure in this town that he's already dealt with, or that building and throwing the football, you know, outside of the dome in a spot that's tough to throw it in MetLife Stadium once the wind gets going and all those different things. So me personally, I want no part of Sam Darnold.
See, the problem here for the Giants is there's no home run solution. So you've got to be creative. And I think you've got to understand that there's just got to be a runway to relevance. And to meeting, I hate the term meaningful games, you know, in November, December. But, you know, for Giant fans and for Jet fans, that's something that both teams have been chasing for a while outside of 2022 for the Giants, as we know. So I look at the potential options. I don't see any. I mean, from a Giants perspective, you want Russell Wilson? They talked to him a year ago. They decided not to go that route. You want Joe Flacco? You want Jameis Winston?
No.
Who do you want? Like, what's the answer?
Well, I think they got to figure out a way to draft one myself. I want, and again, I said this a year ago, I want a franchise quarterback, not a stopgap guy. And if it is going to be a stopgap guy, I'd rather it be Justin Fields, let's say, with the potential to still be a franchise guy, even though I don't love the way he throws the football.
Yep.
I still would rather have his upside and energy and excitement, the potential there versus Sam Darnold, especially here. I don't think it's like ridiculous what you're saying, because now with the way that Darnold has played the last two games, it's not Sam Darnold the $40 million a year quarterback. Now it's Sam Darnold the $20 million a year quarterback. So there's a different value there in Darnold. Like, could he be serviceable? Sure. I just wouldn't want him. I don't want that type of quarterback. I want a friend. I'd rather take a risk in the draft, even if it's a second round, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you can still take a quarterback in round two, yeah, because that's the thing about Sam. You know that Sam's going to work well with the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Sam Darnold.
Not at all.
No, I'm not a fan. Never been a fan. I think he's he stunk here.
I always told you he was not as bad as you make it out to be with the Jets. Like, that one year he had like 17 and 13. Like, he was okay.
Okay. I mean, initially it's I liked him his first year, but he wasn't any good here. Didn't make it here. He's been all over the place. In his best year to date with the Vikings, nobody would dispute how good he was this year.
Yep.
He choked badly in the biggest games of the year.
And listen, he got sacked 9 times. And the biggest,
throw the ball! Yeah, he's home on the damn ball, throw it!
That's where I was going. The biggest knock on Sam is that he's just kind of holding, looking, holding. Get, just release the ball, I agree. I don't know, can you teach that at this age? You know, he's almost 30. That's probably trying to teach an old dog a new trick, which without a lot of success. But, hey, if we're going to judge quarterbacks on a game, and I know with Sam, we've got to go back to the Lions game as well.
Yeah.
We have to.
We incorporate that.
There's no doubt. But if that's the case, Herbert, I mean, they should be running. I know Herbert's body of work is better up to this point than Sam Darnold, clearly. But you throw 4 picks in a playoff game, some were just egregiously bad. Get him out of L.A.
Yeah.
I just think that we overreact positively and negatively, by the way. And I listen, if Sam Darnold threw for 290 against the Lions and 3 touchdowns, and last night he ran for 1 and he threw for 1 and he had a high completion percentage and they won the game, and even if they would have lost next week in the divisional round, and now Sam Darnold, the hype is around, like, hey, maybe Sam could be a franchise. I'm not having this conversation for the Giants. No way. Sam Darnold is not that kind of guy. But you need a guy. Like, you can't, and I know what you mean. You got to try to find the franchise quarterback. But as you're looking for one, can you at least have somebody serviceable?
Yeah, I don't think it's a ridiculous thought. I just don't want Sam Darnold here in this town. And by the way, you can make that same argument for the Jets, because they're going to likely need a quarterback. So why not Sam Darnold, especially if it's a value? And I'm sure other teams are going to think the same thing about Sam Darnold. But it's the combination of his failures when he first got drafted with the Jets and never really believing in him, and then watching his best year fall apart on the biggest stage, missing throws, specifically the Sunday night game, and then doubling down on that.
Yep.
He had a chance for a bounce back. He cost himself a lot of money these last 2 weeks. Those are big, big games. All he had to do was be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they didn't win, just be okay. He was awful in those
games. I know.
I'm
not defending last night. Again, if the price tag was where it was going, then again, we're having a totally, I don't even think we're leading with this here, outside of maybe referencing the game. We'll get these calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. But the other thing, too, like, I don't really know how you quantify this. It's just appealing to me. Not that it always works. It's not always a perfect measurement. But when you start in a manner that Sam started his career, when he was thrust into an awful, ill-prepared franchise with no O-line, no weapons, no coach, and he comes out of it stronger. Yeah. On the other side, after going to multiple franchises and sitting and watching, and he wins 14 games, I'm interested in that guy for 20-something million bucks. I'll take him.
Understood, but are we...
And I would take him for the Jets. I just don't think he wants to go back.
Understood that, too. Or I understand that, too. But are we sure that Darnold came out of it? And, like, he did to a certain extent, but the last 2 weeks showed me that those ghosts are still in there. You know, he's seeing the ghost, and then with the pressure on against the good defenses, holding on to the damn football way too long, missing easy throws to Justin Jefferson, Sunday night football against the Lions. Like, there were things even in the last 2 weeks, even after he quote-unquote found himself and, you know, had this resurgence and all these different things, there were still things that you could see in the last 2 weeks specifically with everything on the line where he reverted back to the old Sam Darnold. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ray is in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Ray?
Good morning, gentlemen. It is an honor talking to you. Finally got through.
Thank you so much.
Nice, Ray.
I enjoy your commentary and every conversation you have very much. I'm a huge Giant fan. I'll put it this way. I had dogs named Taylor and Tiki. So I did. Yes, we did as a family. But Sam Darnold, I watched him in college football. I love the guy.
Yep.
Yes, he had a rough year with the Jets. I was watching the game last night, and I'm like, you know what? He's having a bad game. I would love to see him in a Giant uniform and see what happens. But then I wake up and I listen to you guys. I'm like, wow, I'm not the only one thinking this. I'm like, I would love to see him in a Giant uniform. He would do it. That's all I have to say. I love you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Ray.
He would be great in a Giant uniform, I feel. 14 wins, I will take that.
Yeah, well, you're not getting 14 next year.
You're lucky if you get four.
You bring back Phil and Eli combined, you're not getting 14 with this roster. But I got you, Ray. Thanks for the call, buddy.
And thank you for the kind words. Look, I don't think it's out. When you first said it to me this morning, I was like, what? You want Sam now for the Giants? But after thinking about it, I don't think it's as outlandish as it may seem. I just have a thing.
I don't even think it seems outlandish because I haven't heard a better option. That's the thing. If there were three or four better options, and I'm sitting here saying, you know, stumping for Darnold, I'd say, what are you smoking today? It seems a little outlandish. What's the better option? I just gave you five. You want Jameis Winston who throws 30 picks a year? What are we doing?
Of those crappy options, I'd rather have Justin Fields would be my crappy option. But that's why I want them to draft a quarterback. They draft a quarterback with the number two pick or number three pick, and I do think it's ultimately going to be Shador. We could get into that a little bit later on, but I've just felt like that before the Drew Aller stuff, before Deion was rumored to go to the Cowboys, I felt like it was going to be Shador. I still feel like it's going to be Shador. And in that scenario, I would not be paying anybody $20 million to come in. Maybe you sign Drew Lock back or whatever and have him start the first five, six games before handing it over to Shador Sanders. But Sam Darnold is not a franchise quarterback, and I am not going down that road. And if it has to be a quote-unquote stopgap or somebody with potential, I'd rather go Justin Fields.
Listen, by the way, I've said Fields maybe for the Jets and the Giants.
Right.
I don't love him. Well, that's the point. There's nobody to love. There's not a situation to love. I mean, I don't know in terms of just that consensus, not that it always is right, but not everybody loves Cam Ward. Not everybody loves Shador Sanders. Not everybody loves the names we wrote. Nobody loves everybody.
Right.
So I look at somebody that's, I just think that Sam, you know, I think he's mentally tough. I think he's physically, he's pretty good size, pretty good stature, good enough arm, and a good enough player, I think, to at least, you know, will you into a competitive season. Not that Justin Fields can't do that. Right. I'm not saying that. Now, maybe the benefit, because Justin didn't play a whole lot this year because Russell Wilson took over, as we know, maybe Justin Fields' price tag is lower than Sam.
Right.
And maybe that's a little appealing. But, I mean, any way you cut it, the Giants are going to have to be creative. And I understand the last look we get at someone or something generally is seared in our mind. I'm going to try to forget that because I watched Sam Darnold for 4.5 months play really good football.
Now, you say he's mentally tough, Darnold.
Yes.
See, that's why I don't want him, is because I think he's mentally weak.
Why?
Because of everything that went on in New York, seeing the ghosts,
all that stuff. The fact that he won 14 games this year after what happened in New York tells you that he is mentally tough.
Right. And then the biggest game of the year in Detroit, he soiled himself. And then, again, when he had a chance to recover from that, he looked even worse against the Rams, holding on to the football, being gun-shy, not throwing it. So, to me, that shows that he's mentally weak and can't handle the pressure. Now, I'm not trying to pick on him, like, as a person. You're right. Like, he bounced back, went through adversity, salvaged his career. But with the money on the line, literally in his case, and in the biggest games of the year for his team against the Lions, against the Rams in the postseason, he was awful.
I'm not defending that. No, he played terribly. But you see, there's also a lot of games that I understand. You know, week 18, game 17, big stage, Sunday, everybody watching for the division, and he just did not play well. Understood. I think Aaron Glenn took him to school. And I said that the next day.
Right.
One of the reasons why I love Glenn for the Jets, we'll get to that later. But I also think it's unfair to him or to the situation, the conversation, to omit all the games that he played well to get them in a position to even have a chance to win. They won 14. They didn't, listen, if they won the division, they were 9-8 or or even 10-7, and he had really pedantic. This guy threw 5 touchdowns, 4, 3. Like, Sam Darnold had a really good season.
Mike is in Ramtown. What's up, Mike?
Mikey.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Good. So, first of all, just based off the last comment, Kevin O'Connell is what made Sam Darnold decent this year.
Yeah, I don't know that I would push back on that, but I also think, and I'll let you finish your next point, Mike, I think when we give coaches credit, which I think we should, I also think it's fair to say, well, player X could take what he learned from coach Y and apply it in a different situation. You could learn something.
And then go to situation Z, but not back in New York. That would not work. That would not work.
Well, we don't know that, but I got you. I understand the reluctance to bring him back here.
One other question. Now, if the Giants don't get one of those first two quarterbacks, which I'm not a big fan of either, do you see them going in the second or the third round, maybe for like a Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe?
Who knows? I'm not saying that they wouldn't. And thanks for the call there, Mike. I mean, Sal, I don't want to say that that's small potatoes because a lot of teams find their franchise quarterback in those mid rounds, or Brady late rounds, Montana mid rounds, Russell Wilson Seattle mid rounds. I get it. You know, Lamar Jackson barely made the first round. But I don't want to even say that that's the minutia, but that's not the story for me today. Sure, they could do that. 100%. But they got to start the season with a functional quarterback. You can't and I love Tyrod Iverson. Yeah. You can't start the year with somebody like a Tyrod Taylor.
Only if you have a top quarterback that is going to get the keys handed to him in week 6, whatever it may be.
Like with Kurt Eli back in the day,
something
like that.
Like if you know you have the young franchise quarterback that you drafted and you're going to just let him sit for half the season and then turn it over to him, then you could live with whoever the starting quarterback is. That's why I said Drew Lock before Tyrod, whatever you want to say. One of those guys that you're paying nothing, basically, to be the starting quarterback for the first portion of the season. The Giants are in such a difficult spot because, as a franchise, with all the mistakes that they've made, and doubling and tripling and quadrupling, what's six? Six tuppling?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, whatever. But with Daniel Jones going all in on him, they've put themselves now in a spot where, and the owner said it, they need a quarterback. Right or wrong, they are going to be forced into one way or another finding a franchise quarterback this offseason via trade, via free agency, or via the draft.
Yep,
so to me, it's imperative that they get that guy. I just don't think Sam Darnold is that guy. Maybe he'd be better in, let's say, Pittsburgh, who might not be looking for that quarterback right now.
Could be.
I mean, or whatever other of those teams that you mentioned that need one. I don't think the Giants and Darnold are a good fit. Matter of fact, I think he's similar to Daniel Jones. I think Sam Darnold is similar. I mean, he throws the ball a little bit better, but Daniel Jones runs the ball better. Daniel Jones has won a road playoff game before. I don't really say, and I think they're both mentally weak. So I don't see much of a difference between the two.
Hey, I understand the reluctance. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I mean, any pushback for Sam Darnold, especially to come back to this city where he was almost swallowed up, I obviously get it on every single level. I think at this point for me, I'm calculating risk, okay? And you can't be risk-averse completely because eventually the Giants got to take a swing for a quarterback who's going to be here, you know, 10, 12 years and do something. I mean, you can't just keep flushing these seasons down the chute where you win 5 games and it's a waste of everybody's time. However, when I calculate the risk here, for me, in my mind, I'm like, all right, what's a riskier proposition? Rolling the dice on Sanders, who, myself, I really don't believe in. I don't. I don't believe in Shador Sanders. For me, no. I like Cam Ward more. I don't love him. So the risk there, top three, you might even move up. Taking a quarterback top three and big money as a first contract quarterback, or, you know, give it a guy $22 million a year who just won 14 games, who's not great, but not terrible.
And then not
And then
the trying
to find somebody. Round three. You know, kick it down the tubes unconventionally and find one unconventionally. I don't think, the problem for the Giants is there's no perfect recipe here. There's nothing that says, all right, hey, they've got the first pick and this guy's thought to be an all-time transcendent talent, no-brainer, put the name on the placard, Giants are good for 10 years. There's none of that coming at them this year.
Ultimately, though, there are going to be options, and they have to figure out which one. Like Shane and Dable, this is going to determine their fate. Maybe as soon as next season, but they have to figure it out, get the franchise quarterback, and win games next year. They put themselves...
Good luck, guys!
Yeah, exactly! Giants are not in a good spot. We'll continue the conversation when we come back with your calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
And BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll continue with your calls on Sam Darnold as a possible Giants option, 888-808-1019. But there's another option as well, BT. And the problem with this is I have a hard time taking it seriously. Not that Deion couldn't go to Dallas to be the next head coach, but Deion's not going to go there unless he could figure out a way to get his son there. He already talked about one thing that could get him going to the NFL would be not only coaching Shador, but both of his sons. Okay, so how is that possible? Could the Cowboys trade up from, where are they, 12, 4, 8, 12? Yeah, the Cowboys are number 12 overall, right?
Yeah.
So they'd have to trade up with the Giants, let's say, hypothetically, to get to number 3.
Or the Browns or Tennessee.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, you could. But in this case, we're including the Giants. Maybe yep. The Giants trade back. Well, here's the thing. The Browns cannot afford Dak. And I would assume that in any trade, you would... Now, I don't even know if Dak could be moved. Like, they just signed him to a mega contract with no trade clause. But let's just suspend reality.
I believe he could. He would just have to consent. Usual right. No trade stuff.
So let's suspend logic and reality for a second and say that Dak says, okay, well, I'd be willing to go to the Giants. Like, mm-hmm. He's not going to go to Cleveland. And by the way, Cleveland can't afford him because of Deshaun Watson. So there's no way that that's going to happen. So let's just play hypothetical here. Titans take Ward. Cleveland, they say there's no way Shador's going there, so they have to pass on him and figure out whatever they do. And then the Giants are up at number 3. And Dallas trades... I guess in this case would be Dak potentially to the Giants for that number 3 so they could get Shador and probably they'd be much more involved. But I don't think it's realistic, but I also don't believe that Shador or that Deion would be going to Dallas to coach against Shador two times a year in the own division.
In the same division. Yeah. So what's more plausible, that happening or Dallas and the Giants actually getting together on a massive deal like this? I know Philly and Dallas made that trade on draft night a couple of years ago.
Right.
The Devontae Smith, where they moved around for that, right?
Yeah, what are you saying? I'm saying
the Giants and Dallas striking a deal of this magnitude, or Deion going to coach the Cowboys without Shador in tow. Like, I think it's more likely in a wacky way, and I agree. I know that he wants to coach his son and probably would not go coach Dallas without Shador there. But I even think it's more likely he would do that, more so than the Giants and the Cowboys striking a deal of this magnitude.
Okay, that's just crazy.
That's like the Yanks and the Red Sox for, like, top flight stuff.
Okay, let's pretend that it's realistic, right? In this scenario,
yep.
Would you want that trade if you're the Giants? Take Dak?
No.
Really?
No. And I like Dak Prescott, I do. Yeah. I know that he's good. I'm not a Dak hater. I've been a supporter. I really do like him. But I don't think he's worth what you'd have to give up. The money that is being paid, I don't. And think about this. I don't think Giants.
I'm sorry, BT, to cut you off. I would think that they would just need to take on his money. You're going to trade back and get, I assume, a lot more.
Well, I'm looking at something now, and again, this is just speculation, but a potential trade scenario where the Dallas Cowboys would get the third overall pick from the Giants, a fourth round pick in 25, and a fourth round pick in 26, and the Giants would just get Dak.
That seems obscene.
Well, that seems a bit exorbitant, which is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's absurd. That's absurd. I would think the other way around. Like, if I'm the Giants, I say, we have the third pick, which you want.
Uh-huh.
You sign this guy to a ridiculous contract. Like, we'll take on the contract. We're going to need more picks. And again, I don't know how the structure is in the NFL.
As I think about this out loud, I could kind of see it really actually being the other way, because of all the things in this wacky, fictitious trade, the one known commodity is Dak Prescott, who is a highly above average NFL quarterback. So the value for that would be much more than an unknown, in my opinion. Now, whatever. Here's the thing, though. Like, from a Giants perspective, let's just say they did business, you know, Mara and Jerry, they actually did this, rivals, and it went down, and Sanders is coaching Sanders, and Dak comes here. For the money that he's making and his age, he's not young, not old, but he's not young. Like, the Giants are so far away, in my opinion, from having a talent base that can consistently compete for championships, that by the time they get there, is Dak Prescott still worth it? And for me, the answer is no.
But if you look at all the options right now, and again, we're suspending reality for a second just to have a fun sports talk conversation. I don't think this is realistic, but let's just play it out and have some fun with it. If Dak was a realistic option, I think he's far better than any other option that we've come up with so far. Whether it be Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, you mentioned the two kids in the draft, Cam Ward or Shador Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it's close. Look at what Dak has done with the Cowboys. And he'd be in a spot where the Giants have built a better offensive line, assuming Thomas could stay healthy.
He's not as mobile as he used to be.
Right, but that was a huge thing in Dallas all those years, so they still have to build it better, but it's not like they don't have anything on the offensive line, and they do have Malik Nabers, and they do have Tracy, so some pieces in place to where, now I don't love Dak, but tell me the better quarterbacks in the league than Dak Prescott, or the more accomplished quarterbacks than Dak Prescott.
No, he's on the list. I mean, I really value him. I think he's really good. The problem is what is he making? $60 million? Whatever, it's something exorbitant. So when you inherit that kind of a contract and you give up what I believe, you know, the draft capital required to make this crazy trade, you got to ask yourself, is it going to get you to a championship? And, you know, to me, Justin Fields, or me more so, Darnold, you Justin Fields, but those guys at, you know, 18, 22, 25, which represents a minuscule percentage of the salary cap, which is what really matters in building out a team.
Right.
You're telling me that Sam, now maybe the answer is no, but are you telling me that absolutely Darnold or Fields can't win 9 games next year and mess around with a wild card? It's not like Zach is going to go 15-2 and get the first round bye,
which is why,
at home field advantage. He's not that kind of quarterback, and they're not that kind of team.
Which is why I think the number 3 pick is more valuable than they're saying in those, you know, trade proposals or whatever. Like, that's ridiculous because of how much he's getting paid.
Yep.
I know he's the best player, but like straight up for the third pick, it would be a question mark because you'd rather have the potential of, let's say, Shedeur Sanders, even though we both don't love him, but the potential of Shedeur and his financial salary cap hit and financial structure, the way that you build out a team.
Understood. There's a lot of complicated things here. I will get back to the calls. I would just leave you with this here, Sal. Like, to me, I would rather... Right now, this could change. I got to see how the process goes. Do they really start to dig deep on these quarterbacks? Right now, I don't want to take Sanders. I'm not moving up to get him from a Giants perspective. And I probably wouldn't do the same either on Cam Ward. Right now, that's my position, okay? Could change. Don't think it will. That's where I am now. So for the Giants moving forward, I think it's better to get somebody like Darnold for the 20-something mil and either take whomever you think is going to be a stud.
Like Carter?
Number three, maybe.
Yeah.
Or trade down to like 7 or 10 or 12 and get more. And just build out a team.
Yeah, you've been consistent with that. And I don't think it's a bad plan. I just don't think it's realistic for where they put themselves as a franchise right now. Doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah.
But they might not be able to do that. Steven is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys, great show. Just real quickly, a couple of points with Sam Darnold. I wanted to eventually make a point to compare him to Baker Mayfield. But last night's game, if that game is played in Minnesota, I think Sam Darnold is making all the money in the offseason because, you know, now that he lost last night, it looks like it's not going to be, you know, all that money that he should be making. But if you go back to when Baker Mayfield signed with Tampa, he signed that one-year deal, played really, really well, and then they signed him to a four-year, $25 million deal. And look at Baker Mayfield now after all these years. He's upper echelon quarterback, you know. He's not a franchise, but he's going to play off each year.
He's turned himself into a franchise quarterback.
I agree.
He's got everything you want. The intangibles off the charts. He's been throwing the football well.
Yep.
You kill that Baker Mayfield.
He can move a little bit. Yeah, little bit, just enough.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it, Sam Darnold, if you give him a short-term deal and then you get that bridge quarterback, you never know. He might work out in, I like Sam Darnold and Justin Fields. That's my tier.
Okay.
Well, Sam Darnold and
Fields.
Okay.
So basically same with us.
Yeah, but here's the one.
Justin Fields, too.
That's right, Steven. Here's the one question. You said that if that game last night was played in Minnesota, it'd be a different story, which I don't disagree with.
Well, you said it. Right.
Well,
I agree with you.
I don't remember saying that, but either way, if that were the case, I'm not saying I disagree, but then doesn't that show that Sam Darnold is much more comfortable in the dome or at home? You got to play playoff games on the road, and in your scenario, you're bringing him into MetLife Stadium. So I don't remember saying that it would have been different.
He said it. I didn't hear you say it.
Yeah, and by the way, I do think it might have been different. Sam Darnold at home was very good this year.
But Sam Darnold's not alone. I mean, most guys want to play at home.
Well, the difference, though, with the Vikings is they are a dome team.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Home, road, especially when you're talking about a dome team.
Yeah, but he's not like Tua, where he's playing in 70. Like, I don't look at him that way.
And by the way, he also played in a dome against Detroit on the Sunday night and got beat. So it's not just that.
He could play outdoors.
But at MetLife Stadium, it's a different type of outdoors.
I get it.
See, we say he could play outdoors, but his best season by far was indoors.
But it's also the first time he's played in 3 years. I mean, he sat in San Francisco, Carolina. Listen, the bottom line is this. In 1 week, guys, basically, everything has changed for the Giants. If Drew Aller would have bowled out against Notre Dame, he might come out. It presents multiple options for the Giants. If Darnold bowls out last night or week 18, they might trade J.J. McCarthy. Like, in 1 week, a lot's changed for the Giants.
Right, those two are absolutely off the board now. Joe is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Joe? Joe?
Hey, Joe.
What's up, boys? How you be doing today?
Good. What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Listen. Let's go back to Sam Darnold's first year. Who was his backup quarterback?
Was that McCown? I'm forgetting.
Josh McCown.
Yeah.
McCown.
Yeah.
Who was his quarterback coach in Minnesota?
I don't McCown. Know.
It was okay. Josh. Yeah,
same one. As soon as McCown left, that's when... Josh.
Yeah.
As soon as he left the Jets, his progression went down. As soon as he went to Minnesota and he was there, 14 wins. He's a quarterback whisperer.
Was Josh McCown? Where was he? Was he taking some? Giants. Was he taking some personal time last Sunday night and then last night again? Where was McCown there? Little PTO for Josh McCown.
But you gotta look at it. That was his first playoff game. He's never been in that situation before.
Yeah.
And that defense is really good. If you look at the first game between Minnesota and the Rams. they did the same thing. They kept blitzing and blitzing and blitzing. They have no – he was a deer in the headlights even then. When he goes up against good defenses, he freezes up. He sees ghosts. That's all there is to it. But there was a huge, huge style of play that's better when he's there.
McCown.
You know, you understand what I'm trying to say?
He goes
to the Jets all –
And thank you for the call. Oh, sorry, Joe. I think we had a little bit of a delay there, which was making that call a little bit sloppy. But we do appreciate the call, Joe. We do get the point. And honestly, BT, I think it's an interesting one. If you're a team that is looking to hire an offensive-minded head coach, I'm not opposed to Josh McCown. And then in his scenario, Joe's scenario, you hire McCown as the head coach, you bring in Sam Darnold, and it's a nice combination. I wouldn't do that myself, especially because of Darnold, mm-hmm. but I'd at least be open to that idea, thinking that that combination might work.
Well, I think there's a good chance, you know, and we'll get to this later, but it looks like it's pretty much down to Flores and Aaron Glenn for the New York Jets. I know Samini had that. Some others have had that. Who knows if they chat with McCarthy. I heard something last night I want to tell you a little later mm-hmm. on the air. But if the Jets bring in Glenn, I mean, could they bring in McCown as the OC? If they bring in Flores, can they bring in McCown as the OC? Sure. Without Darnold, I'm saying. But sure, right. I absolutely think that that's in play. No doubt.
Yeah.
I love McCown.
I just think that when you're going young like that, first-time guy, McCown has been talked about since he was playing
yes.
as a potential head coach right away.
Yeah.
And as a quarterback's coach, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I'd rather that than go with a defensive guy. But I don't think here with Sam Darnold would be the right pairing. Although a part of me does say, hey, you know what? Come back and rewrite the story. How great would that be for Sam Darnold? Anyway, we're talking Sam Darnold to the Giants, and you want to throw him into the Jets? Sure, why not? We'll get to the Flores side of things. You just mentioned him for the Jets head coach. Obviously, he was last night with the Vikings, his team getting run over. Wonder if that changes certain things. Good pull out. They've been saying, hey, we got on them a little bit. They've been stepping up the music. This is not your vibe here, BT.
That's all right.
That's all right.
I ain't going to lie to you. That's terrible. It's all right.
You might have been a little bit old. This was like when I was just in the prime age of going to clubs and stuff like that.
Oh, so you got those memories flooding back.
Exactly,
I understand.
Right.
That's why you perked up. You should have seen Sal before he opened up his mic. You'd think he was on Molly doing a dance with three honeys in the middle of the dance floor, this guy.
That would hit me. All right. So before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, I want to hear from the fans about Sam Darnold and Giants quarterback situation, even the Jets, if you want to throw them in. You mentioned Brian Flores and Aaron Glenn. Who had this?
Samini.
Said that it's likely either of those two.
He believes that those are the top two candidates right now for the Jets job.
Now, I love Brian Flores. He wouldn't be my top choice, but he would certainly be maybe the top choice of who they have interviewed so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't overreact to a singular performance. You, I know, were higher on Glenn after the Sunday night game with the Lions. It didn't do anything. Well, how about last night? I mean, Brian Flores has had a terrific season, but last night not a good showing from his defense against that Rams team.
I'll be honest. Usually with the Jets, I'm all over the place. I admit it. I mean, I've said it many times. They turned my brain into mush. So, you know, they confuse me. This is one instance I've been incredibly consistent with this Jets head coach search. I had zero interest in Rex from minute one. Didn't go nuts on the Gruden train. You know, wasn't banging the table for him. Was okay if they spoke to him, but wasn't going nuts. Always loved Flores. Always had Aaron Glenn, but he was third. Glenn was third on my list going back about 5 weeks or so ago. Then he jumped to two. Vrabel was always number one. Once he was off the board, Flores jumped up. Glenn jumped up. Those are my top two guys. Now, I also said yesterday, barring these circumstances that I didn't know before yesterday, really, you know, and the day before with Tomlin, if I'm the Jets or others, of course, I call the Steelers and at least get a no. I approach them. Hey, you got any interest in trading Mike Tomlin? If you say no, well, at least I know the answer is no. But if you don't make the call, you don't know. I would at least do that. I did hear that McCarthy is much more amenable to a Rodgers reunion with the Jets.
This is something you heard
something
on
I was
your
texting with been, somebody last
okay.
night. You know, and there's some other stuff that's a little similar. I think the difference that I got last night is that Rodgers, from my source, is that Rodgers wants to come back to the building. But he understands he won't necessarily be back as a Jet. But he would like to. Like, he really likes it there.
I agree that. I get that. Now, again, I'm not talking to the sources. I just got that feel that he does want to be back, but mm-hmm. it's also got to be the right circumstance. You know me. I've been Pete Carroll was my number one choice. I'm going to just eliminate him because it's not realistic at this point, so it's time to move on. They're not going to interview him. Also, Mike McCarthy became available yesterday. He is my number one choice. I've always wanted to pair the veteran experienced head coach with Aaron Rodgers for a year or two. I understand the appeal of going younger, different mindset, all that stuff. For me, right now with this team, I would want Aaron Rodgers back for a year or two with the veteran Super Bowl winning head coach. Pete Carroll, not going to get interviewed here. Not likely. It's not going to happen. Mike McCarthy available. That's now what I want. I want McCarthy and Rodgers. And if not, I got to go over the list again, but it would probably be Flores number two. Because, yeah, I think of all the other guys that they interviewed.
I like Glenn. I know you like him. I love him. And I watched a lot of videos on Aaron. I want to see how he communicated. Because when he was here with the Jets, he never really spoke as a corner. Like I told you, Keyshawn took all the oxygen out of the room. And the quarterback spoke and Parcells spoke. But Aaron Glenn has been around Parcells and some great minds and some great coaches. And he's very intriguing to me. But I like Flores, too.
Okay, why Glenn over, say, Josh McCown? Or Joe Brady? And obviously the difference is the two offensive minds versus a defensive first time.
Yeah. Number one, I don't... Brady and who was the other one? Oh, McCown.
Yeah.
I like McCown. I mean, I don't know if I would love going into next year with a rookie head coach saying Glenn or even Flores. Glenn and a rookie OC in McCown. And do I really want to do that? I don't know. I have no problem with McCown. I actually love McCown.
Right.
Stop, I love him.
Stop me if you've heard this before.
I know.
First time head coach. Yeah. That's what
just
I'm
get
saying.
A rookie quarterback, like, and you're all set. Right back to square one.
Exactly.
Here we go. Run the band back again. What could go wrong, guys?
Trade for Zach Wilson. Bring him back. Like that's my issue with that setup. But
real quick though, Sal, about McCarthy, right? See, this is the one thing, and I've lauded the Jets for what I think is a very smart search. I mean, they've talked to everybody. And the more people you speak to, the more, if you do it right, and it seems like they are, the more information you get. More information you have, the better equipped you are to make the right decision. Okay. Even if you don't want to hire McCarthy, how do you not speak to him and get his opinion on Rodgers? Hey, you coached him for how many years? I 10, whatever the, I don't know, whatever the number is. Can he still play?
Right, what would you do if you were to? Yeah.
Yes.
That's why I'm upset with them for not even interviewing Pete Carroll. But this is even worse because McCarthy is was a coach this year and had coached Aaron Rodgers a long time.
Seems like they have zero interest in talking to him, and that's rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah, that would make no sense to me. All right, let's get a call in here. Kenny's calling from Union City. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Ken.
Hi.
Kenny.
How are you?
Hey, Kenny.
Yes.
Kenny.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yes, indeed, I'm here.
Good.
All right, buddy, what's happening?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Big fan. I was telling my brother Lloyd, you know, I told him, I said, you know what, I don't blame Darnold through the whole thing. Yeah, I know he made some mistakes, but you know what? I thought the offensive line was atrocious. And the thing is, that's why he didn't get too much protection. And the thing is, Aaron Jones, he wasn't at his best because of his quadricep. You know, they should have ran Akers a lot more, my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, but also, and thank you for the call, Kenny. I get a lot of background noise there, so we'll let you go. But we do appreciate you taking the time. You know, to me, BT, it's the same thing as Daniel Jones. I'm not just going to say, oh, the offensive line wasn't any good. Hey, get rid of the football. He took 9 sacks. Did you hear the announcer? I was yelling and watching the game because I had Justin Jefferson props. So I was rooting for, I picked the Rams, but I had Justin Jefferson props. And Darnold wasn't throwing the ball. But then they played the soundbite this morning. Paul Allen.
I heard it.
He's screaming. Get rid of the football. Can you imagine? He's nut job.
I might do that tonight with St. John. Shoot. What are you doing? Come on, shoot.
Shoot it.
Get back. Get back on thing. I mean, listen, the last memories, plural, last two games of Sam are not kind, as we've said. But understand this. This season, 4 times he threw 3 touchdowns. 6 times he had 2. Another time he had 4. And 1 time he had 5. I mean, the regeneration for Darnold was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good the majority of the year. Looked confident, looked like a different quarterback. And then the last two games looked like the same quarterback. All right, what do you want to do when we come back? You want to get into some Yankees on the other side? You want to do a little Knicks? Okay, we'll do some Yankees.
It's a little bit, the Japanese market suddenly dried up for these Yankees. I want to know why.
No Sakai here in New York, but Soto Sakai will be somewhere else, of course, on the West Coast. We'll get to that coming up. And your calls. We'll continue your calls on the quarterback situation. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the